I'm sitting here with my sister Jessica.
Hello.
My friend Denny.
So you're telling me this isn't the first episode?
I kind of took you out of this. And my friend Steven.
I should have wore sweatpants.
Okay. Today it's going to be a little bit more topical, though the conversation might flow in any direction. But we're going to start with the topic of basically how our world's kind of changed because of social media and the ability to contact people whenever and wherever and kind of stay in contact. So, I think the first thing I want to bring up with that is the fact that, like, with having our phone in our pocket all the time, we can text whomever we want at any point. And it's this weird thing where it's kind of back in the olden days, it was like you'd be able to, you'd have some distance, you know? It's like you'd have to, at the end of the day, you'd either try to call them, and if they're busy or if something's happening, you would have that kind of distance where today is you don't actually have that distance anymore, so. Which has kind of led to a very different type of relationship, I think.
Well, I mean, if you're going to talk a lot about, like, technology, and I mean, I agree, this is a huge, you know, step in human technology, but just think of, like, the modern shower. Like, we don't have to go early in the morning to grab our water from a well, bring it here, heat it up, and then you just turn a knob and it's there.
Right.
And the same thing has happened with communication now. And communication has allowed for a whole mess of other things to happen, where instead of waiting for a letter in the mail for like a month to find out if you're like your business or like some proposition, what happened, you know, overseas, you can happen in an instance. So that's crazy.
I mean, I don't know if technology like closed the distance.
I think that's what I'm getting at more so.
And more that, like, it kind of increased the distance more. Before, you got to just visit your friends if you want to talk to your friends or see them in person, talk to them on the phone, actually hear their voice. Nowadays, it's just shoot them a text and hope they reply back.
And I think more than anything, as I've gone older, and since we were kind of raised in the brink of this technology, texting wasn't huge until I was in high school. So I definitely didn't grow up with the...
Well, we had...
We had phones early, but we didn't... I mean, texting wasn't big. It was still phone calls. I still have my childhood friends' phone numbers memorized. I don't think I'll ever forget them. But I think now, with the rise of technology, I've had to become a very more conscious communicator, and it kind of laps onto your point, that I've had to make very conscious decisions about what I share over texting, what I share over email, what I share on social media, because you do create the false sense of security and closeness. And that is something that I've seen ruin a lot of... I shouldn't say ruin, it's my effort as well, but definitely taken relationships to places I didn't want them to go.
Well, yeah, there was... When we were growing up, there was...
We got AIM, bro.
Yeah, AIM.
Yeah, that's true.
American Online.
Yeah,
whatever.
Really, like, community. And I think what... I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but... I feel like the very heart of all this technology is the communication. Is that what we're hyping on? Is
yeah, it's just that it's the ability to communicate, and it's we're coming into this kind of space where, well, texting in general has a kind of ambiguous format, where it's like if you text someone an emoji or a smiley face or whatever.
Whole new subject, right?
Yeah, no, I know. It'll come back, but I'm just saying, like, there's a kind of interesting kind of twist to it because you're not disconnected from them, and it's like being able to both kind of convey the message that you want in such a, like, in an instant way, but also trying to make sure it's the message you actually want to talk about.
Convey, yeah.
Do kids still pass notes in class? Is that still a thing, or is it just texting?
No, it's texting.
Is it just texting though?
I don't know. I used to work in a class, but I don't think I ever caught any kids with notes.
What a dead art.
Well, no, I mean, I still pass notes in college, so, like, I'm a little concerned about that. I mean, there's a total, you know, there's a threat of being caught.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of growing up happened through passing notes and all of that. So, I mean, I still see kids play hopscotch. So, I mean, if that's still around, I'm sure passing notes can still exist as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I feel like teachers are still pretty strict on, like, the no cell phones in class, especially when they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the only way you'd be able to do that would be passing notes.
If they're caught.
Yeah.
They get real
good. Especially with the...
But the thing, my, this is what I'm trying to get at, is that people would pass notes in class to each other, And now it's like I'm texting someone from three classes over.
Well, and I think even more than any of that is the rise of Snapchat and Instagram and these photo sharing mediums.
Yeah.
So rather than just the communication variant, like words, it's like you're sending pictures of what's going on to other people, whereas before you had to develop your sense of storytelling, you really had to, you know, see that person to find out what happened.
And some people just didn't have the storytelling.
Well, they also have, I think part of that, part of what you're saying is like when you know somebody too, you also know their dialect and you know kind of like the way they convey things. And so it's not necessarily a straight sentence where it's just like four-word sentence and you know exactly what they were talking about. You know, storytelling didn't disappear, but it was you knew somebody's vernacular very well. Now I like the image concept that you brought up. Well, because you know what the old saying is, you know, picture
is worth a thousand
words. And now like you can put like a sentence in there which directs where that picture may be, you know, perceived as, but truly is. I mean, it's just an image that whoever receives it now can
do whatever they want. No, I think it's just, it's strange to me because of, it's a lot of left up to interpretation. And with the kind of visual format, it's a little bit easier and there's less ambiguity with it, but it's just...
Sometimes. I don't necessarily think that pictures clarify sometimes. I think pictures can sometimes make things more ambiguous. Especially when...
Sometimes
when
on purpose.
Especially when they're intended to be that way.
With no text behind it too. No.
Or even, you know, I think we've all seen it. We're all like on Facebook and Instagram, and you see the, you know, really ambiguous picture with the song quote next to it, and you're just like, what are you trying to say?
Dude,
I hated
seeing Snapchat stories of girls. Excuse me, guys too, I guess. Yeah. But I suppose I saw more with girls, or it was just a picture of their auxiliary or their stereo in their car of titling a song. And I'm like, what?
I don't. Hey, I know that song.
Is that
too.
A good song? Should I play it? Is it on the radio right now?
And this is the difference between guys and girls. I'm just saying here, they probably were feeling that way, and that's why they posted that song.
I mean,
otherwise they'd be like, it's lit at the bottom or whatever people say now.
No, but the way I would do it is just like if a song comes on and it just kind of like emphasizes exactly what's happening, I would give context to the situation. But that happens a lot where it's just the music and it's like, why don't you just tell me what music
I've done on? And this goes back to again, like when you know somebody in their vernacular.
Exactly.
I would snap my friend I'd be singing like a song by Queen or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
I would just
totally.
Start belting it and then I would send it to that one person who would understand, because we would do it, we'd hang out and we'd sing those songs. So like if I send that to anyone else, they're like, first of all, you sound terrible. Second of all, what does this have to do with anything?
So kind of like following on that thread of sounding terrible, not this past weekend I actually had an interesting experience. So I had my cousin's children, who range from ages 4 to 13, mm-hmm. come and visit. And the 13-year-old has an iPhone, which I don't think I would have ever been allowed to have at 13.
No way.
And we were sitting there like waiting for brunch. And this girl is Snapchatting, Instagramming, and texting with earphones in while we're sitting at brunch. And mind you, I haven't seen her in about a year. So I'm watching this happen. I'm seeing the young one, the youngest one, the 4-year-old, has the phone and she's watching Disney Clubhouse. Or
sweet.
Yeah. So two of them, there's three of them. And the middle one is, you know, the one interacting with me, sitting on my lap, we're talking.
Okay.
And I just thought to back when I was any of their ages, and it would be absolutely inappropriate for me to be doing anything than other interacting with their family, first off.
Yeah.
And secondly, the fact that not only are they not interacting with their family, they're more concerned about what's going on with their friend's Snapchat than they are about what's going on. So, of course, me being myself, I took away the phones, put them in my purse, and I said, you guys aren't getting anything back until after brunch.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, I'm that person.
They hate you.
They are never going to brunch with you again.
I know, but hopefully they got a lesson.
But
know?
Seriously, I don't know how much of an epidemic it is, but hopefully, I mean, what it could translate to me is, like, a lot of desensitization to human interaction. Like, and I haven't done any studies of my own. I haven't read up, and I'm sure there's studies out there actually how the effect of, you know, handheld devices, handheld, like, all you can know information, things are in your pocket, but it shifts the priority of concern. It shifts the priority of importance to what's not actually real in front of you, you know? You know, sooner or later you can see somebody, like, I don't know if this has happened, I'm sure it's happened, someone walking down the street paying attention to their phone, and then car. Like, I guarantee that.
I mean, the problem with, like, what has happened, like, when I was younger, I had a Game Boy, and I'd take it everywhere with me, and by the time I got to the dinner table, it was like, I needed to drop it, regardless. Like, I would kind of sandbag that whole time.
Yeah.
I would bring it, and my parents made it a point growing, like, hey, this is not the time for that. You know, like, this is a separate time, where it doesn't feel the same way now. And, like, I'm glad the group of friends I hang out with, we're not overly over the top with that. Where
speak
it's like,
for yourself.
Wow. You're called out. That's going to be bleeped out because you didn't look me back out. It's just the... But there's a lot of parents these days who give their, like, phone and tablet to their kids as a means to kind of keep them occupied.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I have a bigger issue with, because it's like you're giving them the phone to kind of to reduce the boredom, whereas boredom is almost not a good thing because it makes you kind of imagine, like you have to press up against it instead of making it really easy. And I
thank you.
There's a lot of people now who are pushing up against it. Actually, one of our cousins, he's raising his daughter in Boston, and he doesn't have, like, he reads to his daughter every night, and like he's very much like he's in the tech industry, and he's like, I want to make sure that my daughter has a proper kind of upbringing with human interaction rather than just kind of sending her off and watching TV or just like like I'm sure she comes in contact with it.
And was actually building on his point, so his daughter is also 4.
Yes.
And our cousin, actually, they're cousins as well. Mm-hmm. His daughter's also, 4.
Okay.
And the difference in socialization between the both of them is enormous. And not that, you know, one's better than the other. They're both adorable personalities and very cute children. They have great hearts. But the child that's being raised with less technology interaction and more emphasis on building those physical relationships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was able to sit there and completely articulate to me that her friend is, a 4-year-old, is telling me how her friend is moving to Germany because of her dad's job. What her friend's dad does, their plans to keep in contact, and what she's doing for like the next couple of hours. Whereas this other 4-year-old was sitting there with Mickey's Clubhouse, another word, edgewise. And not to say that, you know, one's smarter, one's like not as smart. That's not it at all. It's just you're not giving the full tools of use when you have these things.
Yeah, it's hard because she, one of them has 2 other older siblings in the. And then one of them's an only child, but it's just the amount of being able to interact with each other. And I think it's going to be interesting because of the fact that when they get into this sphere of being able to just interact wholly online, there's a lot of ambiguity with those interactions. And like when you're texting and talking on Instagram or sending pictures or whatever, it's that you have to guess. And it's like one of the big tools that we it's guesswork, but it's also evolved to be able to interpret each other's emotions in person. It actually comes around. It's just that we were really good at kind of being able to decipher what people are able to kind of emotionally see. Now, that's when it comes to autism, that's actually one of the kind of cruxes where it's like they can't interpret that. And that's a great format for people who are autistic, but people who are not autistic are also kind of underdeveloped in these social skills because they don't have enough interaction on offline, you know?
So, Denny.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, you're a pretty avid gamer.
I guess avid's one way to put it.
Yeah, I'm going to say avid.
You know.
I'll use that
term. Few hours a day.
And I think you probably have like an opposite perspective. I'm sure you've made a lot of relationships or met a lot of people purely through the online medium and developed.
Yeah,
you know,
actually. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Discord. It's pretty like it's pretty much like Skype or like
Slack.
Get
it. Okay.
Okay.
Specifically for gamers, usually.
Yeah.
It's another you can talk.
But
on,
it's video chat.
It's mostly it's voice and text.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So I'm in this server with people I know in real life. Matthew's in
it.
Our friend Chris.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Chris is in
cool.
it. And in addition with them, there's also people we don't know in real life. Chris's sister, people like she knows are on there.
Cool.
And yeah, like it's almost it's became almost like a daily, nightly thing where we just all kind of hang out, you know, just chill, talk with each other, play with each other. And I think Chris...
Play video games with each other.
Play video games with each other. But yeah, so the other week,
right?
Chris actually met up with them, with some of them, up in San Jose, since his sister knows some of them,
right?
And so it became this thing where like just people we knew online, you kind of have this face to face. And he said when he met him, it was like it was just like hanging,
so
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's super awesome. But at the same time, like, you're doing this as an adult.
You know what I mean?
And I think that makes a huge difference.
Absolutely, I mean, we talk about the development of it with kids, and I think that's where the biggest fear comes in with it all. Because I don't know, to me, there's always, with almost everything in this world, don't know whatever concept you want to get into, there's going to be pros and cons, right? You got to understand that there's a balance to something. And then, if something's actually affecting, you know, human behavior,
right.
Those cons, I think, pertain to those who abuse it. And it's so much easier for kids to start to abuse things because they just don't know the true meaning behind it. And if you don't know the true meaning behind it, that's when you start to abuse things.
I think we're a lot more skeptical just because we grew up and it was like our parents told us not to put all of our information online.
Yeah, like keep it private.
True.
And I think there is some...
There's still validity to that.
And I completely agree. And I think... You know, we are a great generation, and the way that we grew up was still, we have our feet in both worlds. You know, we have it in the old world of like reading books, and then we also have, all of us have social media up the yin yang. So,
gotta get those memes somehow.
Right. But at the same time, you know, what concerns me more than any of this is that we were taught to be skeptical of what we find out online. I mean, we were definitely... I remember dial-up. I remember all, like, the real...
Dial-up was...
I remember the boom of the internet. You know, like, I remember my dad being like, hey, make any phone calls, or plug it in the internet. Like, you're not going to be able to call me. You know, like, I remember this. And so I was always taught, you know, be careful what you read online. There's a lot of truth. And I remember having classes in middle school, like, what's real online, what's false online. And I'm sure they still have that. I mean, I know that teachers take away Wikipedia as a legitimate source, and they do things that really instill children that, you know, you can't trust everything you read online. However, you start getting to the social media accounts, and you start seeing accords of people's lives, and they're in pictures, and they're in text, and they're in video.
Pictures, captions,
right? And so like how do they really start to discern where reality and fantasy and money come into that? Because so many of these people, you know, they're sponsored by products. They have an ulterior motive for their own financial well-being or someone else's. And these kids, you know, they could be posting a picture on a beach in Italy, which is great. And they're, like, showing their wonderful vacation, and that's awesome. Most likely, somewhere in there, they're getting paid to post that very picture. And I think that gets lost on the younger generation. Right, and it's very... Right. I mean... I love Instagram. I'm a very picture-oriented person. I much rather be on Instagram than Facebook. I don't care to hear about people's thoughts if it's not attached to a picture.
That's where you draw the line. If it's just their thoughts, I don't care. But if it's a picture...
I mean, at least...
Give me something to look at.
Yeah, give me something to digest other than, like, your words. And I'm an avid book reader, so it has nothing to do with, you know, the written word. It just needs a picture for me. But even I get caught up in, you know, looking at these pictures and seeing people's beautiful lives. And I'm like, okay, I'm in my mid-20s and I get caught up in it. I can't even imagine being 12, 13, 14 in my developmental stages, you know, going through my awkward, ugly phase. You know, I'm being serious. Like, we all know that phase where you're, like, looking at yourself in your mirror and you're like, when are my ears going to match the rest of my head? You know, like, when is that going to happen?
Every day.
I'm still waiting.
Yeah, right? And, you know, but going through
this... You don't know you're in the phase, you're in the phase.
And, you know, seeing girls, and we had a close friend, or not close, well, close friends that were friends with a Disney star. And, you know, she's posting on her Instagram all the time that she's adorable. She's a very pretty girl. She's absolutely pretty. But she's had minute surgeries to make herself prettier.
Dang.
So yeah, she's had the dimple surgery, she's had a small nose off, she's had these things, and these kids are looking up to this, not realizing what they're even seeing.
I think that also, there's something I thought about while you're talking too. And with those pictures and some of those things in Snapchat is, you know, if you've ever been on an account where somebody's out in the wilderness or someone's doing something, I heard it spoken to me about a religious matter that someone's like, reading a Bible, but you got the Bible out, you got the book perfectly laid out, you've got this, you got your coffee right there, you got like a pen or a notebook right there, and man, it is just the perfect scene. Things are set up, it is framed. You got different filters to put through. And so, I mean, while that point alone, when you were saying that that girl was receiving different enhancements and procedures, you can make a scene look, you know, you can go to a wider scene and then maybe see like a family, you know, fighting in the corner while you're reading a book right next door. Like, it's still that perspective of this is what I want you to see.
It's so distilled at that point, right? Yeah. You only see the best of what people really want to show you. I mean, this also gets to the point where, like, yeah, we get so, like, disconnected with, like, real life when we're on our phones, but at the same time, when we are engaged in real life, everything becomes just, like, an opportunity, right?
Right.
An opportunity to, like, share it or to, like, get those likes, get those retweets or whatever.
Someone else needs to see how cool magnificent this is.
So, like, you start seeing things as just something to share rather than something for you to experience. And
right. That was, I think, when I go on a trip or do anything, I try to, like, minimize my picture. Well, I take a lot of pictures, but I try to minimize as much, like, I'm doing this because I want people to see. It's like, I want to be there in the moment when I'm doing it, because it's like, if you start getting caught up in that, you're not actually experiencing anything, really.
I've made it, like, a rule for myself that I post when I'm doing nothing. So,
take away from your experience.
I'll take the pictures, and I'll be like, oh, my God, this is going to look so beautiful. Like, you know, I have the image that I... And me, I do like sharing images. So, for me, it's like I'm sharing a beautiful experience. I'm sharing a beautiful something, or, you know, inviting you into sharing my life. But that's only going to happen on the car ride home. Or it's only going to happen when I get back to my apartment. Or it's going to happen when I'm, like, sitting and there's nothing else to do. I'm waiting. Like, if you're waiting in a restaurant, you just went to this beautiful cathedral, right? You know, you can sit there and take a moment and just, like, post that picture. But that all being said, is I actually put thought into what I'm posting, because I don't... Because sometimes things need to stay personal. And sometimes a personal experience needs to be shared with others before you share it with people online.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I text my friend a picture and I'm like, remind me to tell you the story. And it was a beautiful picture of when we were up north. Wow. And we went on a little mountain hike, and I wanted to tell her something stupid my brother said. And so I took a picture and I was like, remind me later. And I realized, like, had I just posted it like I originally wanted to, like, that whole interaction that I had with someone that I really care about would have never happened.
Mm-hmm. What's also like, the expectation is that, like, you put out a story and a picture and you've already kind of told the story. And it's like, and it's like you expect people to kind of stay caught up with other people's lives. And you're like, oh, I post that on Facebook, or I post that on Instagram.
Did you see what I tweeted?
Yeah, and it's like, not really. I don't. like, I go on those sites and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And it's like, that's when I'm bored and I'm just like looking through things. But it's not a very good site for actually keeping up with people sometimes, just because, like, it is and it isn't.
I have both sides to that.
It's like, for a lot of people, it's very, like, manicured. Like, it's their existence, and it's like, I talk with them in person, and it's like, they go on all these experiences, and it's like, they look fantastic, and they look like they're having fun, and they're the most impressed people I've ever met, and it's like...
See, I just had to throw my phone across the room, because this whole time, I have a separate situation going on, and the I think just the pure ability of having, don't touch that, Maynard. I really didn't have the intention of kind of disrespecting what was going on here, but I'm sure, I don't know if they ever had the thought, but like I personally had the thought where I was like, I'm actually trying to do something with some friends right here. I'm trying to make a point, and my actions were proving it on its own. And it's the fact that it's just on your fingertips. Right. And I'm talking to three different people about, you know, almost a business transaction that is, you know, somewhat important, right. But how is it more important than a physical reality in front of me?
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk dirt as much as we want to about technology and like how it takes away from society, but at the same time, you gotta look at, like,
there's cons. There's pros. You gotta look into those pros too.
It's like Uber, I mean, Airbnb, all that stuff. I mean, none of that wouldn't have existed without.
One of our Denny's and I's like mutual friends, and Jessica, Joseph. I actually met him online before I actually met him in person. our mutual friend Mario.
Was it one of those dating sites?
Yeah,
yeah, we, that's
what it is. It's much nerdier. It was a text RPG forum.
Sick.
Yeah, I know.
That was back in the good old days.
That was back in the good old days. But we and we had my friend Mario had started it, and then he had gone off to another school, different high school than I did, and it was one of the ways we actually kept in contact over a couple of years where we were actually apart because of high school. But I had met and talked to this guy named Joseph online, and we had talked for about like 2 years before I actually met him. And like, I know him now and we hang out all the time, but
real
it's just,
deep.
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting.
To you, he was just an online friend, right?
He was just an online friend, and to Denny, it was like, he saw them the other day, and it was like, it's just kind of funny, because that's exactly like, as much as I diss technology in this, but it's like, without technology, it's like, I'd probably be dead.
Oh, no, and like, I have friends from 5 years ago that I worked at my, you know, minimum wage college job.
Yeah.
That were international students, and I've from Ukraine, Thailand, Philippines, China, and all of them I remain in contact with because of Instagram and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I'm going to be the first one to say, like, I, as much as I, in my brain, I want to be better with communicating, and it's something that I'm working on myself, there's absolutely no way that I'd be in contact with these people and know what's going on.
Yep.
That, you know, two of them are coming back from Korea this year, one of them's getting married, I'm probably going to her wedding. You know, my other friend just got a job in Virginia, so she'll be coming back. I mean, there would be absolutely no way, and I'd be waiting for that letter. I'd be waiting for that letter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely incredible that, you know, I can know what's going on with them and feel secure and comfortable with
that.
In an instant.
I mean, it's not even just friends, too. I know with my family. So,
oh, yeah.
I have a lot of family in the Philippines. And I used to remember whenever me and my mom and my dad, we'd go shopping at like the Filipino market, they'd always make an effort to buy those international phone cards.
Right.
So they can call back home, you know, see what's going on.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them buy a single card in like 5-6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
they don't need to anymore.
Yeah. It's different apps. Skype.
Yeah.
It's not just like hearing their voice on the phone. It's not just, it's seeing them and talking with them face
to face.
WhatsApp
or something like that? What's that?
Internet? WhatsApp. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
WhatsApp, and then there's, I have like four on my phone for all the people that I talk to.
my parents love like Skype. They just love talking with the family that they can usually never see.
We've done that too with our family in Ireland.
Yep.
And it's made everything so much
better.
Sister
lives in New York.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My East Coast family couldn't come to my brother's graduation, and because of how UCR had it
just
set up.
FaceTime it in.
No, they didn't even FaceTime. They had it
broadcast
online.
It.
Oh, dang.
Wow.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they had it broadcast.
Hey, dude, we graduate together.
Yeah.
They had it broadcasted, and you know, like, I think that's so incredibly special for my grandmother that wasn't, you know, ever really able to make it to our graduations to see her grandson walk across the stage. I mean, I was crying thinking about it, so I can't even imagine how she was doing. So
it's an experience that it was like, it allows for people to connect over that kind of big distance, and it doesn't feel as far away. I mean, think about how much of an effort your parents had to make, Denny, for like being able to have to call internationally, and it's it would have been just as easy just to let go of those relationships.
And you got those like reminder times. Like,
yeah,
you only have one more minute, and you're like trying to wrap up a really important call.
It was a huge process too. It was like when they wanted to call home, they had to like sit down and like make a real effort.
Well,
and
then you'd have to coordinate time. So
I remember
my friend had to do the same thing. You'd have to be like, okay, it's 6 o'clock my time on Saturday, and like you'd have to be home at that time to make sure that phone call went through.
Yeah.
And now it's like,
we're
running 15 minutes late. We'll be there in a bit, you know, or at the grocery store. Hey, we'll be home soon, you know. So, incredible.
Like when I was traveling in Europe, like all I had to do to get my phone activated over there was call. I have AT&T, so I just call them, and they're like, "Oh, okay,
that's $10."
Yeah, it's like, and you're good. And I had like a limited kind of service over there, and like I didn't want to go over, but the ability to just have that with me the whole time was kind
still.
Of a security, like, which is it is just the weirdest thing, you know, being able to kind of reach across that distance. Like, one of the big things is that when I was over there, I went backpacking and staying at hostels, like. the whole process of that was, back in the day, you'd have to just go into the town, you look up directory, and you just try to find a hostel. And so a lot of people would just, so a lot of people would just go from place to place and go, like, or call and call the destination.
Payphone.
Hey, I saw an amazing payphone.
I saw one the other day.
Did you?
I was amazed.
And so you go in and you don't know if they're full, and you'd have to go to each one, and so they'd spend like a day doing that. And I had everything planned ahead. Like, there was a website that I went to, and I was just like, here's the dates I'm going to be here, the dates I'm going to be there. And like, I did it in a day, because I'm kind of, I take a long time to make decisions, but but I could have done it in like a couple hours, and just kind of very much made those decisions. And like, and I knew I was going to have a spot when I got there, and it was like, they have reviews of all the places.
Right.
It told me the location of that, so I can map out everything. And it's like, when I got there, it was like they were expecting me, and it was just such an easy experience. But back in the day, it was a lot more difficult. And it kind of leads to less adventuring going on, but it's also the fact that I didn't have to spend as much time worrying about where I was going to be sleeping that night.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to define adventuring like just wandering into the unknown.
Because,
like, that's a security.
Am I going to have a place to stay tonight?
you don't want no hostile movie repeats.
Yeah,
so,
no,
it's
a romantic view of adventure, kind of. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I mean, romantic or just...
I don't know.
Mysterious.
Mysterious.
Uncertain.
I mean, that could be romantic in its own way, but, like, I don't know. Like, I wanted to bring up how... Now text and email, I mean, when email began too, there was, again, like this ability to communicate across the world in seconds. And that's just on its own a crazy phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And think of like what sort of mentality goes into a time-sensitive situation when you were trying to figure out what's going on in another country. You also know what's going on in a heartbeat. You don't have to wait for the newspaper the next day or the next week, whatever. And... you know, we can now like just drop a text and just wait for a reply when it's not that not that important, you know, and move on with our day instead of worrying about that until we get an answer.
Well, the crazy thing is it's free. Like,
I mean, free for us, right?
For the
extent. There's always something being paid in the back end.
The weird thing is that if you think about, like, I heard the story, but the internet was almost not free. Like, you to go on the internet and do everything that you're doing.
Well, almost, again, it's not.
Well, it's not. No. But my point is like going for each website would have been a paid.
Yeah,
got it.
So there'd have been like a
crazy
for like Google. Would have
crazy.
Been like,
you have to do that.
Imagine limiting knowledge in that way.
But,
you know.
But it's like
crazy.
I don't know. It's just like I've come in contact with so much different kind of media and stuff that I would never have been able to because of the fact that, like, going on the internet, it's really much kind of a sharing kind of medium.
I want to swing the topic back onto
social media.
Media.
Yeah,
so,
good idea.
Something that came to my attention within the last year, two things actually. So, first off, something that scared me, and we'll talk about something else that scared me. So, the first thing that scared me is one person told me that they no longer read the news. At all.
Yeah.
They only receive their news from social media.
That's not.
That's scary.
It's scary, but I actually sat down and thought about how much that might be true.
Now, I don't do that intentionally, but that happens for me. I don't know things unless it's said on Facebook. Like,
if something gets mentioned
on
Twitter or Facebook, that's going to be how I'm going to hear about
exactly.
it, and that's going to see the perspective I'm going to be.
The initial,
But what's even more scary, and like this is, you know, again, I'm taking a consent, Denny, don't hate me. But I'm taking for social media, not for the communication aspect.
Mm-hmm.
For the social media aspect, you know, people act intentionally. And so when they're releasing news stories or they're posting a picture, they're putting their perspective into whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking their spin, either, you know, it can be purely unselfish reasons. You know, I'm not saying that everyone out there to, like, manipulate
people. Ambiguous or...
But at the same time, it could also be... put out there for, like, a malicious reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, in all the recent hate crimes and all the recent events that we've seen in this country and around the world, you know, there's been such a push for people, you know, putting those messages out there against others. And, you know, before I'm not for censorship, that's not what I'm here for, but what I'm saying is that before, you know, there was a little bit more... editing going on before things would reach the mass public.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, say, just sending that rage tweet that, you know, might get retweeted a million times, and it's absolutely horrific, funny, but horrific, that probably would never have met the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And the mass amount of those that are going out to people, and especially, again, younger people, and they're filtering these things, it just gets me worried. I mean, I know that a lot of the younger generation might be a little bit more aware of social issues than we were
at that age.
Which I think is absolutely incredible.
Pro for sure.
But how are they getting this information and where are they getting it from?
Well, it's just how truthful it is.
Yeah.
Think about it this way.
How unfiltered is it?
It's like we have a 24-hour news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That cycle with BuzzFeed and all these different sites are wanting to get a leg up on things. But there was a huge process back in the day to, like, in the 80s and 90s, to be able to get it out quickly, but also to get it out correctly. And so an editor would have, depending on when it lands on their table, like 6 hours to really think about something. And if they really wanted to, like, if they're like, oh, all gung-ho for it, and then 3 hours later they're like, you know what, actually, maybe we should take that back for a second and, like, really evaluate what's going on. But now that doesn't go through that clearance, because everyone wants to be at the forefront, they'd rather say sorry for something rather than...
They want to be the one to break it first. That's right. How they get their clicks and views.
And I think that is something to be praised at the same time, though, because that story is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that story is available. But again, like, as you're saying, like...
At the same time, it's dangerous. Yeah, I don't know, with the way I got my schooling, they always taught us, always look at multiple sources.
Triple
check.
Sure.
You do the fact checking yourself.
Right. The difference between Orange, Tom, and Net.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
both CNN and Fox, you know, you gotta look at it.
Yeah, it's like...
go on.
And so it's, I don't know, what like the way social media works nowadays, it's like you have someone tweet out something ridiculous or some event that has their own bias already put into it, and then you have all these different news sources just reporting on that same
tweet,
and it's kind of like self-legitimizes itself. So it kind of gets a lot harder to like see
what's actually going on.
And that's what gets me so fearful for, you know, the future, because, you know, we're at the precipice of what social media is going to become. I mean, I can only imagine with holograms. I mean, I don't think that's too far off in the future.
I don't know.
And like the person popping out of your freaking mm-hmm. watch. You know what I mean?
Like, I feel like the exchange of information is, I agree. We're really at the pinnacle of how that's going to be transferred. Is literally, I can send you a quick image, it's going to disappear in 10 seconds, and if you don't get it, you know, I might tell you about it later, or that's it, you know, and then no one else is going to see it unless I double click it that was something I'm still going to say it's social media, but not so much what you were saying. I thought that was super interesting, is, you know, now that, you know, Facebook Messenger and all these other things can tell you when someone has seen the message.
I hate
that. All right.
I hated
it when...
Left on red.
When, like,
Or just, the worst part is just red.
Yeah.
And you're like, that was a question.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it someone shoot me a message and I was like... A friend asking about homework, and like I gotta see what they really say.
It's like
and
a trap.
I open it, I'm like, oh crap, they can see I saw that, and I don't want to reply. that goes for so many different things.
Trying to talk to me. What are they? Oh, okay. I don't want to respond to that.
Yeah.
Oh, I just didn't have time, you know.
I think there's heavy mental and like psychological effects behind that.
Oh, it's almost coerced.
Do we even want to talk?
Go get into it.
On Instagram story. I cannot go out to anyone I know.
This is going to be heard by a lot of people, Jessica. Hopefully, in the future.
So, on Instagram story.
Change names, vague terms.
Oh, I'm not going to say any names right now. On Instagram story, you're able to see who's watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, I'm going through a couple of difficult situations with a couple of difficult people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I look to see if those people are watching, because I'm interested to know if they're interested in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Why do I care? That's what it really
are you
starts,
do so you got a question now.
What am I doing this for?
Yeah.
And that and that comes down to purpose and intent. And so that's again for me, I'm very thoughtful before I post. I'm like, okay, what is this for me? Is this something I actually want to share, or am I looking for a reaction?
Am I trying to frame it so someone sees it a certain way?
But I am in my mid-20s doing this. So I can't even imagine at 13, like my little cousin, she was like on Snapchat, she's like, oh my god, like I need to put this filter on, and I'm like, you shouldn't care. About like, your filter, you shouldn't care about taking a selfie. Like, no.
I mean, it's not like they got anything else going on in their lives at 13, right?
We all got onto this. Think about it. We all got onto this most of the time after we were kind of... Like, my MySpace phase was boring. Just because, like, I look at my MySpace back in the day, and it's just like, I'm like...
You weren't on my top. You weren't...
Dog, when I could put a song or video on my page, that was out of... That was
like
that was everything.
My posts were just, like, super, like... Just talking about this. Like, they were all dramatic and ridiculous. But, like, I look back at that now, and it's almost like looking at a diary. Good thing nobody goes to MySpace anymore, because...
MySpace is popping.
It still exists, but...
At the Musical Center, MySpace has a lot of...
No way. I've tried looking on my MySpace, and I forgot everything, like, password.
Oh, remember when we went on mine, and I was like, holy mother. And I always... The song thing is right, though. I remember when people would be like, why'd you put the song up? Like, what does it mean? And you're just like...
But think about it, like, how old were we? We were in our early teens, you know, like,
I was like teens, 13, 12, 13.
Facebook came out when I was in, like, Facebook really started.
Well, it came out like the same time, but then it got really popular when I was in high school.
Yeah, right. Facebook was more high school, and then
I got my Facebook when I was 16.
Yeah, I think I was probably around the same age as you.
And but the weird thing is that, like, I was 16, like, I wasn't smart back then, but it's like I was at least a little bit older. But now it's like I had the skepticism. I had everything kind of going for me. But these kids are going on at like their parents are starting them Facebooks when they're born. And it's this information that they're going to be accumulating throughout their entire life. Like that is that's a weird thing to think about, because it's like, oh, if I really want to go back in the day, like our little cousin, if she has a Facebook, it's like, we can go back all the way to the beginning.
Rest in peace, the family photo album. Right, it's just on Facebook.
You'd be happy because you keep saying there's no baby pictures.
I was going to say, wait a second. Don't knock the idea that you actually have those saved.
I think that's beautiful.
What if your house burns and all your photos are...
No, that's good. But I'm just saying it's just like... You imagine all the posting you've done, and like when you're like 13,
making dumb.
I've gone back to like when I started posting on like Facebook.
Yeah,
some of the first couple posts, I cringed.
That's what I was going to say. So we have those cringeworthy thoughts, and you know, you're always jokes that you're waiting in bed, and that stupid thing you did 7 years ago pops in your head, and you're sitting there like, oh my god, my life. Like, and you still have that moment, but now that moment is not only in your head and those who witnessed it. It's online.
I'm just glad it wasn't existing when I was like 12.
That's what
I'm
going for. But it's for
you guys
are
running around dressing costumes. And,
but now it is. Yeah, exactly. People are experiencing it.
It's like you're putting that up there. And it's like you have to define that.
Yeah.
Like, dang, Daniel. Look at those shoes, or how about that chick is gonna like that's logged.
That's locked in forever. It's like there's no way you're taking that away.
Well, okay, so we're getting to that point, and then now we're getting to the images that these kids want to put out.
Yeah,
and I get freaked out.
Or what gets popular, and they assume.
I get freaked out that like 13-year-olds wear more makeup than I do.
Yeah,
not that I'm knocking makeup, not
13-year-olds wear more makeup than I do too.
Matt, you wear a lot of makeup.
I do. I'm sorry.
Matt's morning routine is very arduous.
hours of makeup just because I need to make sure it's perfect.
Anyways, you know, and we had this talk with a friend the other day. There was this girl walking down the street. She had like a very short shorts, the whole nine yards. And I heard her speak. And I realized this girl is probably Max is in sixth grade.
Dang.
Max in sixth grade. And she's over there and like not, you know, knocking the way she dressed. You can dress however you want. But just the amount of makeup, she was taking selfies, Snapchatting while walking, and I just thought how self-involved, you know, like for
vain.
A person. I mean, it's not even vain, because I don't even think they know what they're looking for. They're just they're so accustomed to sharing that part of themselves already.
Okay, yeah.
Versus when I was, I remember we used to have like the freaking disposable cameras, and that's your selfie. You'd have to wait 3 weeks until someone delivered the film, and then you're like, oh,
maybe
my God.
Unless you were bougie, you had the Polaroid.
That's not bougie. That's fresh.
Yeah, bougie, okay.
No. Okay, like, so I think let's get back to how there's pros and cons of it all, and let's hype hard on some cons I'm stuck on cons. pros and we took me and Matt took a developmental class a developmental technology class, and how important it is that actually parental involvement and actually guidance in these things, because these things are they're again, they're the pinnacle, they're the precipice of what where we're at with technology. The fact that I have a fully operational computer in my pocket to access information, as long as I got Wi-Fi, in a moment's notice, when you've got a parent correctly directing that, or a mentor, a leader correctly directing that for someone who, again, you don't want to abuse it, that's what we need to get to. We need to understand that. Well, we also need people, and this gets into a different situation with culture, but like, we need to not have immature people teaching other people how to handle it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, think about it this way. Like, one of the most successful kids' television shows is Sesame Street. You know, it's like, and it's this, and I think we had actually talked about it in classes, the fact that, like, with the right guidance, the kids are learning certain skills a lot earlier, and like, the ability to.
Yeah, and that's
like,
so cool.
Right, and it's, but it's also being able to interact, like, a lot of kids may not be able to interact with like their peers at that age because, you know, it might be too early for school and they just don't have the chance to. But to have the ability to kind of have this other person to be their almost their friend on this on Sesame Street, and like fostering that interest in like, oh, numbers or creating something. I think not to get into the cons, but like, it's just like monitoring which shows you do. Like, some of these shows are fantastic, and like, also like, We grew up with, like, if we had a computer, we had like different like learning software, you know, and like I had typing software.
Yeah,
that I didn't learn anything from, but it was like the ability to learn from these types of things and to kind of foster an interest. I have a friend who I was talking to, and her brother is actually in high school, and she was telling me basically that her brother listens to philosophy, like philosophy podcasts, philosophy speeches, and all this other stuff, like in high school, and like being able to access that. It's like the ability to have access to a library, but like even easier. And so it kind of fosters those kind of interests, which they wouldn't normally have access to, or it would be at least a lot harder to have access to. And that's a beautiful thing, because it allows for people who might not have access or just not know about something to actually come in contact with it.
I mean, yeah, say what you want about Wikipedia, but.
Oh god,
that's...
Wikipedia. I donate every time.
That's cool. No, like, I love it, because it did start off in high school. I think it totally has changed, and it's going to continue to change. But it's opened the idea that as we have different perspectives, we can all all put in our input, and it's going to go through a filtering system. And as it goes through multiple perspectives, that in and of itself is a filtering aspect. Right. Like, if this doesn't, you know. It's like in computer code. Like, if this doesn't align with this, it's going to be null.
Right.
But when you've got all these statistics of people who do agree, that it's going to fall under even stronger validity.
Right.
And so now Wikipedia, I think Wikipedia is like,
it's great. No,
amazing.
Oh, I love it.
Wikipedia is just going on.
And like, it's the
seriously.
And then it provides citations, which is like, okay, you don't believe this?
Go look at the source.
Deeper. Yeah. Look deeper. And then if like a class could be taught on how to like,
really,
you know, show kids, like even at 10 years old, how to go through that, understanding like, this is Wikipedia, with like, you're going to have your initial information, but then you got to check that source, and then you got to check the validity of that source. But it's just a huge bank where people are able to put that information.
And I think like, building on that point too, is like, kids nowadays have such a great opportunity to be so much more compassionate because of the amount of perspectives that they can gain.
Yeah.
And I know, like, us growing up, like, we were definitely heavily influenced by those who taught us, our parents, our teachers.
I was gonna say, and they need to be fostered. Those opportunities
need
to be caught
and
fostered.
I mean, that's great, and that's only going to get more apparent, especially as I'm taught, like, as technology gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And something else I kind of wanted to hit on, since we're talking about social media, is the social media models that actually do use social media correctly and are inspirational and are helping people. I mean, I think Instagram, because that's my main medium, if you can't tell, Instagram is definitely something that there are such great inspirational people that post and really try to get a network out there to help others. And, you know, fitness models, yes, but there's fitness instructors that sit there, and there's real life people that have transformed their
free
lives and their models.
Yeah.
And there's just like, you know, here, come, let me help you. Let's join a unit. Let's do this together with people that might not be next door, but across the country.
Yeah.
And that is transformative. Like, that is where
I think
to head.
There's two things I want to mention. First is that, like, with the, even with the newest election thing, and I know a lot of people are, it's kind of controversial for a lot of people, but one
kind
of the great
kind
of you don't say
same thing.
But the point is that there's a lot of websites that came out to just double check information that was going out there, and there's these free websites who would go to every speech, they would go to every rally, they would go to every debate and every news article, and just go, what are they talking about? And is this really correct? And it's like, when someone's referencing something and it might not be correct, you could look up there and almost in real time and just look and see, like, hey, this is not necessarily correct, or this is misquoted, or this is correct. Like, it might seem weird, but this is actually what's happening, and that's a beautiful thing. And then it's also being able to put people, like you were saying, like fitness people, in touch with each other. Or I go on Reddit a lot, and so one of the big things is that, like, there's communities for weight loss, and it's like one of the cool things is it gets people, or even any community, it's like it gets people who've been in the community for a long time in touch with people who want it, who have an interest and want to join the community.
Testimonies, man.
Right, and testimonies, and they're able to kind of connect and, like, sort of mentor each other through this process, where it's like, oh, you like this certain type of music, and it's like, yeah, I really enjoy this, and it's like, well, you like this music as well, you might want to check those out. And it's like, I would have never thought of that, or never come in contact without it, without this other person who might live all the way across the world, but has just been there for longer, an ability to kind of communicate.
Yeah, and it makes it super easy, exactly what you were saying, to make social support groups.
Right.
And those are so important for everybody, for every person in any situation, when you got a kid who, you know, passed away, or, like, you know, parents need it, or, like, you yourself is suffering from, you know, cancer or some sort of illness, like, that social support group changes the game. Now, what you said, though, made me think of, you know, when Spotify says, oh, you listen to this music, you might like this music. Now this is getting into the realm of, you know, and Instagram does this, too, when you go into, like, that search book where it's like, oh, you know, your friend of a friend liked this, you know, or something like that, and then it gets fearful to, like, okay, now who's deciding what I see? Am I deciding what I see?
On Facebook, it's like, I'm friends with only people who agree with me, so I'm only going to see
things that
I
agree with.
It becomes like a self-validating thing that goes on with, like, what perspectives you see.
Mm-hmm. And that's
I think, the thing I'm scared
fearful.
About the most.
You know, those algorithms are good.
Right.
It makes them money.
Right, no, it does.
But does it foster a, you know, a wider scope of what's really happening?
It's actually a Facebook thing that I just read about, that Facebook sometimes does tests with their algorithm, where they wanted to see in a kind of randomized population whether showing people either happier or sadder posts would make them happier or sadder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they actually found out that, if you show someone actually, like, only a more negative, more kind of either fearful, aggressive, angry posts, that they will kind of follow suit. The other interesting thing is, and this is, because I've worked in a research lab for psychology, one of the mentor in that was actually did a study on whether some people feel, whether if talking more on Facebook actually led to people feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it just doesn't. It doesn't actually, it makes a lot of people feel lonelier the more they post on Facebook, which is kind of this weird kind of thing where it's like it's reversed what you think it should be, and it's like there's a lot of research that needs to be done, but it's almost like the quantity is not what matters, but actually quality of
Amen.
Well, think about that, though. I mean, if you're posting a lot, and this goes back to our earlier point, you're not involved in whatever you're doing, and you're more concerned about someone else seeing it than you actually experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't surprise me at all that as the quantity goes up, your quality of life goes down.
Yeah.
Unless, again, like, that is your life and you're paid to do it, and you're probably super happy posting all the time,
and
I don't
think you're just rolling in it. No, I wanted to go back to the point where it's, you know, seeing similar viewpoints, like, all being kind of, like, geared towards you. I kind of miss when online forums were kind of the thing, because, like, you didn't have an identity kind of, like, tied to what you were posting.
Right.
So,
I totally agree with
that. So it kind of gives you that
barrier.
Anonymity.
Yeah.
You know.
That's sometimes necessary.
Yeah, and it lets you just speak freely without any, like,
right.
And in psych studies, deception's constantly used so that no bias comes out of it. Mm-hmm. That you don't, you know, act a certain way in assumption that right. that's what they're designing. It's, but yeah. I think that applies to that is you gotta go in unfiltered. And then I mean in certain ways we're human. We're gonna be filtered regardless.
Right, right. Yeah.
You grew up in an unstable household mm-hmm. or you grew up in a right. mistrustful relationship. You're going to have that guard up. You're going to have that filter up. But it's important to attempt that perspective. So when you see things on social media and when you see things on the internet, regardless, you're able to take it critically and logically.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the form thing, it's that, like, the anonymity allows you to make mistakes. And it doesn't feel like when you're talking online, it doesn't feel yeah. like an attack on the person.
It's yeah, because it's more like, it's not like you tweet something and then someone you know is like, oh, I can't believe you tweeted that. Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Even though that's how you kind of really feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes you kind of afraid to say it again. Or it's...
Or talk to that person yeah. about that.
Yeah, because then there's like the prevailing wave of, that might not necessarily be popular.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and being able to kind of give that opinion and really talk it through. And it sounds strange because people are very afraid of like anonymity on the internet because it's like people are afraid of what people might do. But a lot of the time, yeah, you get your kind of bad apples who do like weird things with their and like that start fights or whatever. But mm-hmm. there's also a lot of good people who are just there and they want to learn and they want to like communicate. Yeah. I've had many more good experiences.
Like, there's just so much more better discussion, I think, when right. you kind of have that kind of wall, yeah, wall between like your personal life and
what's going on. What did you say though, too? Using that your relationships in real life have actually improved because you had that experience?
Well, I mean, it depends. I guess it depends on the people, right? And well, how I mean, they approach.
I'm talking about, like, the people we grew up with since we mm-hmm. all grew up yeah. together. Like,
I think that yeah. speaks to an intimacy. Is right. the more you... And I mean, that has to be paired with, you know, that openness and that ability to see their perspective, even though you might have a different perspective. The more you get to know somebody and know intimate details about them, the closer you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, just and naturally.
Well, I think, though, having your ability to speak online and kind of, you mm-hmm. know, getting other perspectives yeah, yeah, yeah. gives you kind of even the more ability to at least talk to the people you're close with.
Right.
And so I've noticed that, like, especially with you, like, I think we have a really open, like, our friendships are really open, mm-hmm. like, to the point sometimes where it's too much. But, like, yeah. you know, I attribute some of that to like how we grew up with the forums and, you know, being able to voice those opinions yeah. without worrying about being attacked, yeah. you know?
Because especially like being attacked online, I guess it's been big thing recently. Just
yeah, it's just
well, like, cyberbullying. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. Like that's not new by any means in this day and age. Right. This is 2017, by yeah. the way.
But yeah,
hearing this cyber in the future.
Yeah, with cyberbullying, I mean, a lot of it has to do with, you know, how you present yourself online and then right. how you want to be seen by other people, right?
But then that also comes back down again to that social media aspect of having that there. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think before, when there wasn't this whole social media profile and you wouldn't immediately, you know, search someone's name and find
yeah.
their result,
yeah.
you didn't care. You're like, this person called me this, I'll call them that, the game's over, oh well. Well, and now you have a lot more.
It's interesting because, like, every time I have these conversations, I realize how far down the rabbit hole of like nerddom I go. So like, I used to like, my uncle got me into.
Why are you worried, man?
I know.
You gotta embrace it. Nerd.
I my uncle had gotten me into a MMO, a massive multiplayer online.
Which
RPG.
One? Which one?
It's called Dofus.
Dofus.
Yeah. So it was a French one. He was really into French stuff. So
he still is.
No, he is. No, and it was a really cool experience. Because like, it was a turn-based adventure thing. You were mm-hmm. kind of in like a normal adventure-y type world, and not that I liked the format of massive multiplayer online stuff. It was just you create these weird kind of connections that with people that you've never heard from, mm-hmm. you will never know. You're behind an avatar. But it's like being able to talk with them and like feeling like if you were to expose your identity, it's a very personal thing. Like that is a very like, that's something that you don't do automatically. It's like, that's if we know each other on that level. And it's yeah. almost kind of like, it's almost a very special thing when you get to that point, because it's like, I have now acknowledged you as like almost a regular person that I want to interact with. And like now your identity is tied to everything you are. Like you can look me up online,
yeah,
and it's like I have my Facebook profile set to private, but
right.
you could still like look up pictures of me. You can look up
my LinkedIn.
Other...
Yeah.
Please look at my LinkedIn.
This is a plug. I'm kidding.
But like, look up all this information about me. It's like, and it's like, I don't even know you. Like, I don't. Mm-hmm. And it's so much less personal. Like, it's personal information that's not personal anymore.
Yeah, and I think that kind of goes to your point as well. Is that, you know, and I'm not even going to try to pretend here, when I get recruiting emails from candidates or things like that, I Google them immediately.
Yeah.
And like, I've told so many people that, like, be very careful what you post online, and if you're not careful with it, better retype it. Like,
sorry.
Period.
I remember back in the day when we were using MySpace or Facebook came out, and our uncle brought on, and my sister had posted a picture of herself flipping off the camera.
It was really classy.
And I remember my uncle being like, you're gonna regret that later.
My uncle wrote on as a comment, if it wasn't bad enough, like, you having, you know, your Facebook picture and, you know, all your friends liking it, my uncle decided to write a comment that said, you get back in the world what you put into it. At the time, I was like, should I post another one then? Because, you know, that's how I feel about that. And then now I'm sitting back and I'm like, holy Moses. Like, and, you know, that was representative of whatever I was going through. And like, I don't necessarily regret it. But at the same time, if I saw my little cousin post that, you would be damn sure that I'd be down.
So what about this? We were talking about how, like, kids are getting Facebooks at, like, 2 years old, right? You know, and they're going to be a huge encapsulation of their life up until, you know, they actually become coherent enough to understand what Facebook is. What if they start to learn from those mistakes early off in life? Or, like, that would be an amazing, like, they need that guidance for a parent to lovingly approach it and be like, hey, like, Let me spit some real knowledge on you real fast. You know, I did this when I was younger.
Some parents nowadays just aren't caught up with.
That's what I was saying. Like, you can't have the immature, you know, blind leading the blind, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just so, because I know with my parents, they barely just got on, like, the whole social media.
It's funny because like, both their sons are like super into tech stuff, and it's like,
yeah, and it's funny to hear like what their perspective on it is. It's like, yeah, they like interacting with their family, but at the same time, they also start seeing like the dirty side of what like online
they did move
be.
Whatever how many miles away from the Philippines. So it's like, it's for opportunity, but it's also,
I mean, with me, I mean, I got exposure kind of early when I was like 12 or 13. I joined up on Xbox Live, which was like the online thing. And so that was the first service where we had voice chat. We can talk to each other. And so I was a 13-year-old kid playing with, like, you know, some maybe like 20 something old year olds or whoever was on the other
end.
And they again with anonymity thing, it's like, you, there is no filter coming through that. Yeah. The things you hear coming out of like what sounds like a 13-year-old kid from the other end of the world, it will blow your mind.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. They're very creative at that age.
But, you know, to kind of tag along to Stephen's point, some amazing things that have happened because of social media is the building of small businesses.
Yeah. Right.
Because people have been able
that
to...
That network, man.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many small businesses that I know personally that their entire fan base and where their customers really come from is social media pictures and people posting what they have and doing that whole thing.
That's the whole
thing. It's funny you mentioned that, because so when I went on my trip to Japan with my brother, there was this place in Osaka that we wanted to eat at, and the only reason we knew this place even existed was through like Travelocity or like Yelp.
Right.
There would be no other reason why we'd know it's there. And when you actually go to the place, it's like this small hole in the wall place where it's ran by one guy behind the counter.
Man. Those are the best ones.
Yeah. One guy behind the counter.
For real, you gotta find this hole in the walls.
And man, he makes a killer living doing that, because even out you see outside, it's like, talk about us on Yelp.
Yelp. Check us on Yelp. Check in, get 10% off.
What was I agree so much with that small business point, because there's so many things that also have to be conveyed through images. You know, we'll go to Instagram, like, so many businesses, like we can go down the aesthetic route with like workouts and like fitness people. Like, yeah, you start to get clientele because you show what you can do. And but then, like, I've got a lot of friends, and my sister started to do a lot of bakery work and stuff like that. But like food, man. Like the, I get so tired of seeing friends' images of like, oh, this is my dinner. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not eating it. So or get out of my face. Or that actually looks like crap, you know. but like someone who's running a business, like who's got super again aesthetic looking cakes, cupcakes. Though that's super necessary, you know, that affects the mind. I was making a pizza once at a pizza joint, and this isn't social media, but like this translates to what I was saying about this business, small business, is and a friend was teaching me how to make the pizza, and he was like, remember this, if it looks good, it tastes good,
right?
You know, and it's crazy. Well, and that to me, that also gets back to the psychological phenomenon of a human being, that when they see something that just looks pleasing to the eye, it's going to affect all the other senses.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's when we start getting in trouble too, though.
No, you're right.
Because people are posting these pictures, and I'm not saying that, you know, every beautiful person has no substance. Like, I find myself beautiful, and I feel like I have substance, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about me over here. I'm myself beautiful, I got something.
But what I'm trying to say is, you know, like, there's such a misconception of, like, what people actually look like and what people actually bring to the table, and their value has been placed so much on those pictures and their likes and their followers, and that's the part that...
It's terrifying.
Terrifying, but the next generation has so much room to grow and change that, and the hope is there.
I mean, but when you talk about like small businesses, I mean, it's advertising, right?
It is.
Right. True, true.
And it's advertising, but it's becoming free so that you don't need that extra capital. You don't have to bow down the corporation. You don't have to do all those extra things to get a good quality product and good quality time out
and
there.
And my point against this is that you start to lose what's real and what's not because you don't have that. Because it's like when you see a commercial on TV, it's like, that's obviously advertisement, but there's also...
You mean when I see people struggling to open a bottle of soda on TV, that's not real?
Please.
But your reality starts to warp.
Right.
I get you.
I get that, but at the same time, there is some truth.
Or expectation.
Yeah, but there is also some truth that, you know, if multiple people, random people, are posting the same thing about a restaurant...
No, that might be true.
Really cool. Yeah. I found so many cool places in... You live in California.
I just moved, and I don't know many of the places in the area, and we actually one day we just looked up a random place and went there because it was like, we wanted Chinese food. Mm-hmm. Not today, but we wanted Chinese food.
We almost got Chinese food.
The place was great, and it was next to a ice cream shop that was also... It was fantastic, and it was... It was actually across the street from Korean market that I go to, and it was like I would have never seen it. Like it's a hole in the wall. Like I've never seen it, and it's like this is, and there's a lot of other people that are just, this is great. You should order this. I'm going to let my first experience be the best experience I can get, and then I want to come back here and try other things.
Well, and that goes back to the mom and pop Armenian shop that I'm absolutely in love with. I was walking down the street and I saw a big sign, so I went in, and now they have like a complete Instagram, and you can actually see the food, and it's really good quality food. It's farm to table food, you know. Mom and pop ran, like I run into these people at the grocery store, you know, people that I know, and I'm helping their business go get good food quality. I mean, it's pretty inexpensive for that, for the quality and portion.
It's actually just,
and that would never have survived.
Yeah, because how would you do that back in the day? Like what, word of mouth?
Within the phone book, a newspaper,
but even then you'd have a lot of footwork, and then you'd probably have to have a really good product.
And not to say that it's not footwork, because it is a different type of footwork.
Virtual footwork.
I mean that almost gives you more anxiety because you have no control over that.
Yeah. It doesn't cost the bills.
And that's what I'm trying to get to, is that there's so much that social media has to offer if guidance is given in the right way, to prove your point again.
We're getting a little bit long here, so I want to get final thoughts from all of you. So I'm going to start with Jessica, if possible.
Well, you need to ask the question.
What are your final thoughts on just the topic, just the social media?
Well, in general, I think that there needs to be a break from social media as far as personal sharing and personal... Or there needs to be a conscious effort in what you're receiving and what you're getting from social media. And that not only needs to flow from the people giving it, but from the people reading it. And I think that if that perspective is taken into everything you're receiving, not just social media, and more in general, we're going to see a really, really beautiful world and a change in humanity, And I know that's like talking big, but everything comes down to perspective. Thoughts become things. Mm-hmm. So if you can change that, and social media being so important and relevant in our lives right now, we're going to get somewhere really great.
Right. Okay.
Well, I think social media is great. It's an awesome thing. I just need, some people need to chill with it. Like, if you're at a concert and you're recording it
to share.
I mean, God bless your heart. You're awesome for putting that so I can watch it, because I couldn't afford to go to the concert, but enjoy the concert yourself.
Leave it
to
3 videos.
Oh, I know. You get like an hour long.
And I'm like, I'm watching this concert actually probably closer than you are.
But yeah.
That's a good point.
Just chill with it.
Experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Matt, did you choose this order so you'd go last with the final thoughts?
No, I just, this is the, like,
no, okay. No. Well, I mean, I feel like I've made a lot of points and we've harped upon them, but it's like, yeah, you gotta understand the pros and cons. And cons constantly come about when abuse and disuse is brought about. And so to fix that, in my opinion, and to let those pros flourish beyond, you know, beyond comprehension, is those who have the comprehension now, those who have the ability to understand it now, has to be able to not only understand it for themselves, but relay that information on to you know, I speak in family terms, but to their kids, you know.
Yeah.
And then whoever you yourself may be in charge of as an adult versus a child needs to do the same.
Doesn't that all come down to what you're studying and trying to do for
your
kids? Matt just loves the memes.
I love the memes.
As long as you don't stop memes, I'm good. Matt Latow.
No, for me, it's, I think, like, I have so many friends, and such, a lot of my friendships are curated online, because it's just, like, being able to connect with people, and I think that's part of, like, the most beautiful thing ever, is just being able to kind of talk with someone that I might not come in contact with at all that much, but still having that contact with them. So it's this thing where it's like, it's a beautiful thing. I'm just wary of it sometimes because of the fact that sometimes it goes way too far, and it's like, you need to respect the medium for what it is and like not take too much out of it. I'm sure we're going to live our entire lives on it at some point, but like, it's, we need to actually have a healthy skepticism about what we come in contact with, and really trying to foster the relationships that we have as a person, not just through the technology. So, there's that.
Cool.
And so,
Dank memes 2017.
Yeah. So this is the last test cast. I'm going to put this up with all the other test casts when I finally put these all up. And thank you for listening. If again, you want to tell your own stories or just let me know. I want to continue doing these things because it's fun. I think this is a really good topic. And if you have any advice or any help online, just let me know.
Yeah, if the quality sucks, just yell at Matt.
Yeah, say something. Yeah. Also, it'd probably be a lot better if we all had sweatpants.
Yeah, probably.
All right. One of us was trying.
Apparently someone's overthinking about the world. Sweatpants for all. Thank you for listening.
Bye.